plate a potential nugget.
And the other theme I'm curious about, Deepa, is how you've thought about picking the next mountain to climb. Again, sort of metaphorically speaking, whether it's swimming or biking or shot put, how have you set those milestones for yourself?
You know, I was tired of those questions. Tabiyat kaisi hai? When are you going to be all right? So I really didn't know that what is everybody waiting for? This is a permanent situation. It's become part of my life. And what is the definition of achhi tabiyat? Physically, it's going to be a wheelchair. Emotionally, I am all right with it. My family has accepted it. We have found a way to work around the chair and the disability. But like I said, commonly people don't know or people are not used to it. So how do I declare this whole happy state of mind? And even if not happy, let me call it an accepted state of mind, where I have come into acceptance and I have adapted to the change and I have learned the skill to be part of this change and move on in life. So I started tapping on all my potentials and hobbies, and I started thinking of what can I do to declare to the world that my life is all right on a chair and I'm no longer a patient. Please start treating me like a person. And in that quest, my first and foremost was financial stability, because I was tired of being called a financial liability on the family. First step was to turn a restaurateur. A lot of learning went into that. I didn't know how to take a loan from the bank. I had absolutely no clue how to run a business. But I was open to asking for help. And that's what I tell everybody. The issue nowadays I see is there's a lot of egos. I know it all attitude. Or I just have to press a couple of buttons and Google Baba is going to tell me everything. I think first-hand experience and interaction, human-to-human interface, teaches you much more than this mechanical. Of course, it's good to get educated, but it's also very important to learn it practically. I had no hotel management background. I had no MBA skills.
And how did you pick running a restaurant, out of curiosity, off the various things you could do?
I think that was the first thing which came naturally to a housewife who knew cooking and who loved cooking. And I also found an opportunity there, because the Ahmednagar area, the pocket in which we were living, had no home delivery counter. And we had a lot of army officers as students over there. And it is also an industrial kind of a town, and there's a lot of education there. So I felt that around the army area, we were missing home delivery counters. And young officers wanted food to be door delivered so that they didn't have to get ready, go to the officers' mess, wait for their turn to come as junior officers. So, and then there were a couple of retired cooks who were also looking for an opportunity to set up something. So in one corner of the farmhouse, in that little farmland, we put a shed and a small kitchen, and we employed the underprivileged kids of the maids, the boys who were not able to pursue their education. So it became like a project which was interdependent, and the cooks got a job, I got something to do, the people around got a home delivery counter.
The whole ecosystem benefited.
Yeah, and these young boys were bartered by giving them a place of stay, clothes and books. And during the day, they had to pursue their education. In the evening, they had to deliver these packets. And from this small home delivery counter to a little restaurant to an absolutely flourishing catering business, 7 years, it was amazing. And a point came where I was earning more than my husband. I was not a liability, but I was giving a job opportunity to at least 20 staff members of my restaurant. So that was the first step. Mm-hmm. And once I found that stability financially, and I did not live on the guilt of eating into the family money to do what I wanted to do. I started traveling. I started looking for opportunities. Done a biker, raised sponsorships, learned internet, started writing emails. And finally, I did get that. But my doctors told me that I need better rehabilitation. I needed to strengthen my upper body to be able to balance this whole body and have the strength to create a record. Because I thought, people will only listen to me and my voice will only be heard if I do something different. And a woman with chest pillow paralysis, when she'll ride a bike a certain distance, creating a record, probably her voice will be heard. And that'll leave an impact on the society. It was personal as well as there was a goal which was value addition. And to do that, I started doing hydrotherapy, which meant I had to exercise in water. And I realized that this body was not drowning, rather swimming. And that is where a para swimmer came out, and swimming also became a journey.
The piece around being financially independent was made by one of my earlier guests, Anu Madgaonkar, a partner of the McKinsey Global Institute.
So after I graduated, I had a degree in economics and I was wondering what to do next. And I had gotten into the IIMs, but I was also toying with this idea of, you know, maybe I should, you know, go and do like a master's in economics or something completely different. You know, there was this slightly romantic idea of what else I would like to do. And then there was this cousin of mine who was no particular influence in my life at that point. But out of the blue, he just said that, you know, you're a girl. And you should remember that it is very important for you to be financially independent, because you don't know what your circumstances are going to be. You should be able to earn your own living and live well and stand on your own feet. So whatever you do needs to be marketable and have value in an economic sense, right?
Understood.
That was not a message I got from my parents at all, because they were fundamentally, believers that life works itself out, just do what
got
you
it.
Like. But
right.
I got this hard-nosed input from a cousin, and I think that was pivotal, actually, because I did decide to go to the IIMs and then have a conventional career, and, you know, making money was part of that
sure.
set of objectives that I set out to do myself.
The other piece that struck me in Deepa's narrative was that she was able to integrate the various elements of her life, which is following a passion, building a career, making a difference to the community, giving the employment to 20 people, and getting into a barter arrangement with a few people to provide shelter to them, and so on. Professor Stu Friedman of Wharton Business School talks about looking at life in four broad compartments: yourself, work, home, and community. He goes on to say that people often see these four as discrete and think about trade-offs across these four buckets, but the really smart ones find a way of integrating multiple compartments by the choices they make. Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com. You might find the curated playlist section on the website relevant, as I've tried to break things down into nuggets by theme. It might help you to get to the content that you might find relevant efficiently. If you find the content purposeful, please take a moment, rate and review on iTunes. It will help others benefit from this content.